Okay, today is Wednesday, January 7th, 16th day of the month of Tevet. This is the women's Chumash here. We're up to Parshas Noach, Bereishis, Perek Zayin. Okay, Rabotai, today is Radak Day, who will offer insights into something that we've already done, as well as a perspective on something that we will take care of today as well. We're up to Bereishit Perek Zayin. I guess the snow scared everybody away. Bereishit Perek Zayin. And we already saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach at the beginning of Perek Zayin to come into the Teva and to take from all of the kosher animals seven, whereas previously the command was only to take two. Umin abeima asher lo tahora hi shnayim ish v'ishto gam me'of hashamayim shiva shiva zachar nekeva l'chayot zera al pnei kol aretz. So too, me'of hashamayim, you take seven, male and female, l'chayot zera al pnei kol aretz. Up until now, we've seen only one explanation why there is a distinction between the kosher and the non-kosher animal. Seven kosher for what reason? Why seven? To bring korbanot. That's, and we elaborated 2 weeks ago when we met last on the lengthy Ramban as to what the purpose of korbanot are and how the Ramban used our parsha to challenge the Rambam, who believed that the entire institution of korbanot was designed to eradicate inappropriate thoughts that existed in the Egyptian and other cultures. Namely, that they believed that these animals, particularly the goat and the cattle, are deities. The way we uproot that is take their deities and offer them as sacrifices. That was Rambam's perspective. And he challenged it based on our pasuk. You know, the Jews are not in Egypt yet. There are no, and Hevel and Kayin are even before there was such a thing as idolatrous practices, which started in the time of Enosh, according to Rashi. So almost everybody buys in to the notion that the reason why there was a distinction after the initial command was to take two from each species. Now, when he tells them to come into the Teva, God says kosher animals seven, non-kosher animals two. The difference is to offer korbanot. The Radak is going to challenge that particular premise. So we will start. Yes?
How come there are kosher and non-kosher animals at this time when man wasn't allowed to eat animals?
Okay, so we said that this is based on what's going to happen at the time of Matan Torah. And that there are those, so some read, interpret, well, Noah studied Torah. So he knew that. Others say, the most simple is, that God came to him and said, eventually, when I give the Jewish people the Torah, here will be the distinctions between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal. Just check it if it has split hoofs and choose its cut. You know it's kosher. If it's not, good. We mentioned the fact that by birds, there are no simanim. There are no signs as to what a kosher bird is. So God had to just give him a long list. A list. All we have is lists in Vayikra chapter 11. We have a list of all of the non-kosher birds. So what God had to do, tell Noah, these birds are not kosher, these birds are. Yes?
Why not just tell him to take in only the kosher animals to begin with?
Because there is a purpose in this world to have all species survive. The kosher is only for the korbanot. But the primary reason for taking animals into the teva was not korbanot. What is the primary reason? To enable every species to survive the mabul. So whether it's kosher or not, we want them to survive. Yeah. And in fact, Radak's going to add something to that as well. So now let's take a look on where it says, page 1, we're starting in order this time, page 1, I bracketed on the left-hand side of the page, the Radak. Says the Radak, Lefikach amar gam, umah sheba'u shiv'a min ha-torim, ushnayim min ha-tameim, that which God legislated, seven from that which is tahor, in other words, kosher, and two from tmeim, which are not kosher, lo la'asot korban. That's the purpose is not to offer korbanot. Bitseit noach min ha-teva levav. That's not the only reason. Because she'in kain die lo bipachot b'shiva. Seven would not be necessary to offer korbanot. Because as we will soon see in a couple of months, when we get up to the exit from the teva, how many times did Noach offer a korban?
Once.
So if he offered a korban once, what does he need seven from every single kosher animal? What does he need? Kilo ra'inu shehikriv Noach alapamachat. The im hikriv yoter, if he wanted to offer many korbanot eventually, yachol lahakriv min hanoladim mehem l'shana, o lishnatayim o yoter. All you have to have is one male, one female, extra. Let him have lots of kiddies, and then he can offer korbanot for the rest of his life from those which are kosher. But he didn't do so. He only offered korbanot once, and that's it. If it's only once, vavosh da'pehavin yibin. Why does he have to have seven of every kosher animal, male and female? Says the Radak, Ela masheratza ha'el lehashir min ha-Torah shiva, kidei sheyochlu mehem Noach ubanav haba'im achareihem. Because there's going to be a change in diet after the Mabul. Up until the Mabul, 10 generations of mankind never ate any meat. Adam and all of the 10 generations only had vegetables. Nothing else to eat. Salads every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My God. No wonder there was a Mabul. No wonder there was a Mabul. Thank God there was a Mabul. Breakfast, lunch, and only salads. And you were not permitted to consume animal kind. After the Teva, after the Mabul, God allowed Noach to what? To consume animal. But if you're going to have mankind repopulate, and Noach's children are going to have children, lots of children, they're going to be listed at the end of the parsha. And you want to feed them meat, well, you've got to have lots of kosher animals. So he tells them to take seven of each kind, not to offer korbanot, but to have the availability of eating kosher meat immediately after the Mabul. Lefisha l'hatolo basar l'echol, mashelo hitir le'adam shelefanav. That which was not permitted to a previous generation. The afalpi shelomona mimenu shum basar min hatmeot. Even after the Mabul, God did not allow him to consume what? Any of the non-kosher animals. Kimo she'amar, kol remes asher hu chai lachem yiyeh le'achla. Excuse me. God did not prohibit Noah from eating non-kosher animals after the Mabul. He did not. God told him, kol remes asher hu chai. Ma'aseh kol remes asher hu chai. Any animal that walks, that's alive. Lochem yel achla. Noach was not commanded only to eat kosher animals. So if that's the case, what question is he asking? Why bother? Why differentiate? Why don't you bring seven of the non-kosher animals as well? When did this change happen? Where it says lahalat in the parentheses. At the giving of the Torah, that's when God said, you know what? From here on in, no kosher animals, yes, No kosher animals, non-kosher animals, no. So why did he distinguish between the kosher and the non-kosher at this time? Afalpi. Now you're not going to like this. I know you're not going to like it. Afalpi came, nonetheless, lefi hateva, based on nature, hatahorot tovot lema'achal b'nei adam yoter mehatmeyot. Kosher animals taste better than non-kosher animals. That is, nobody in this room who can disprove that. Nobody in this room who can disprove that. Exactly. We never had a Big Mac at McDonald's. Ubirov, and the majority of time, lo yochlu b'nei adam b'shar ha'omot hatmeot ela b'nei ra'av. Only if there's what? A famine. That's when you eat pork. Only when there's a famine. I don't exactly see that as true today. Don't quite see that today.
When did Radak and where did Radak live?
I don't know where he lived, but he is one of the Rishonim. He's a Spanish. He's a Spanish scholar sometime in the 13th, 14th century.
All he had to do was look at his neighbors.
Yeah, I don't know.
He lived in the
Provence. Half of the
Provence?
Okay. Lefikach, ha'yitzorich lahashir behemot hatorot yoter me'atmeot. Therefore, from a practical reason, you have to have more kosher. Because ain't nobody eating non-kosher meat on a regular basis. No, because he noticed that even his Gentile neighbors always purchased kosher meat.
Muslims.
Always purchased kosher meat. That's what he says. All of the people would only eat non-kosher animals if there was a famine, if there was nothing else available. That's what he speculates. Afal pi shekatuv shehakatuv lo amar Elo l'chayot zera. He now asks a question on the text itself. If you take a look at the text, why does the text say you should have seven? Take a look at Pasuk Gimel for a minute, which talks about kosher birds, but it would be the same for kosher animals. What is the reason in the text why it says you take seven? What? Motor speech, l'chayot zera. What's the simple interpretation of l'chayot zera? To enable what?
Them to exist.
To exist.
To live.
Not necessarily that you should consume them. Not necessarily. That's not the reason why I have seven. According to the Radak, why do I have seven? Not because I want the species to populate, because I got to have something to eat right after the month. So he notices the difficulty in the text's reason and try to jive it, force it in to what he is suggesting. Yes.
Well, nowadays they're trying to save the species. They say that they have so few they don't differentiate enough, and then they interbreed, and it's not good. You need a lot more animals to be able to repop to save the species, because otherwise they get so many dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. No, chill down. So what do you think he's going to do, Radak? How's he going to take his interpretation and squeeze it into the words of the Chayot Zera? I'm asking you. Why do you think you want to keep it the Chayot Zera? So you can eat it. That's what he says. Why does the Torah say the Chayot Zera? So that you can eat them. So you have plenty to eat. That's not what the Chayot Zera implies. But he is now reading into it. Why should I make it my effort, my concern, to make sure that the species survive? Not because of the species should survive, because I want to eat them.
Because yeah. God created a certain number of species, and it's not our business. I mean, as we said with Shiloh HaKen, basically, you don't assist in the destruction of a particular species, because if God created a certain number of species, it's not our business to say we don't need this one or that one and let it die out, or to create a new species by interbreeding. So So this is, if God said these species should exist, then it's man.
Okay, but that's not the reason he's given, that I want to eat them. You're explaining what the text says. I grant you that. Yes.
So if Radak's explanation is going to be that we have these birds because we need to eat them, what would his explanation be for the fact that it's still 7 and 7?
Oh, that's his next question. That's his next question. The aim lishol. Leo, you hear that? The aim lishol. Don't ask your question. The aim lishol lama shishiva. Why 7? Velo shisha oshmona. Everybody have it? What? Don't ask that question. Why 7? Not 6 and not 8. Oh, you're terrible, man. It'll be more than that. Why? Ki ha'el ra'a b'chachmato ki shiv'at sarich v'yaspiku. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows that all he needs, what? 7 to help recreate and to provide enough food. V'yoter lo tichilam ha'teva. If you're going to get 50 of each, the teva is not big enough to accommodate it. So God, in his infinite wisdom, said it's exactly 7. 7 necessary to populate the species, enough to eat. More than, that's why 6 is not good enough. 6 would not be sufficient to populate. And 8 is too much because the teva can't handle it. Very convenient excuse. But that's, I'm just showing you, that's what the Radak, I tell you, today, I announced today, today's Radak today.
Yeah.
That is true. But he didn't need non-kosher to sell the hide. He could sell the hide a kosher animal as well. Indeed. Now others who take on the number 7, somebody just said, of course it's always, what does it represent? The end, perfection. Right? There's 7 days for the week. 7 days. This 7 is a common theme. Sheva Shavuot, 7 days of the Omer, 7 nights, 7 times to the Shemitah, 7 years to Shemitah, 7 Shemitot to Yovel. That's a factor, and the Kabbalists go wild with that. You know, no, 7 is a complete number. Forget it. That's what it says. But that's much more logical, that the number 7 happens to be a number which represents a completion of a unit. The unit that you're dealing with here is the repopulation, and we find that 7 is always the end of a completed week, completed cycle, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Good. That's point number 1, which the Holy Radak suggests. Now, I want to read Pasuk Dalid for a second, and Pasuk Hey, and Pasuk Vav. And then I want to show you what Radak says, and he is going to attack Rashi pretty strong. Says the Torah, Ki liyamim od shiva, in 7 days, anochi mamtir al haaretz arba'im yom v'arba'im lan. In 7 days, I'm going to make it rain for 40 consecutive days and nights. Umachiti et kol hayikum asher asiti me'al pnei ha'adamah. I wrote, maza limchot machot, erase, obliterate, mechiyat amale. I will obliterate everything that exists of that which I created on the face of the earth. Vaya'as Noah, b'chol asher tzivo Hashem. Now the Torah throws in like a parenthetical remark. V'noach ben sheish me'ot shana v'hamabu hayah amabal ha'aretz. Noach was what? 600 years. The next passage. Vayavo Noach u'banav v'ishto v'lishay banav ito ala teva that they may have a home. Noach and his children come into the teva, b'nei mehamavu. So now I ask you just to think. If it already says that black on blue, vayavo Noach, in Pasuk Zayin, that Noach is coming into the teva, What exactly does Vayas Noach Kuchol Asher Tziva Hashem? What does that mean? What does it mean? What did he do? Kichol Asher Tziva Hashem. What? He brought all the animals in. That would be a simple shot. God had just told him, it's not that I only want you to come in, but I give you a long laundry list of things to do. Bring in all of the seven of the kosher and seven of the non-kosher, and two of the non-kosher. That would be the simple, simple shot. Yet, take a look at Rashi. We always start with Rashi. Take a look at Rashi as his comment on Vayasko Apostle. Tell me what Rashi says. Tell me what's difficult. Tell me what's difficult. Says Rashi, that Vayasnoach, when God said, I am, he did whatever God created, what does it mean? He came into the Teva. So I'm waiting for the question.
They tell us
it's right
here and
he came into the Teva. So what's Vayasnoach again? He came into the Teva. He was 600 years old, he came into the Teva. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Zebi'ato lateva. When it says, Vaya'as Noach, it means that he complied and he went into the teva.
But in Kaf Beis right above it says, Vaya'as Noach, and Rashi says, Zebinyan hateva.
That's where? That's in Perek Vav.
No, that's right, exactly.
But that's Perek Vav, because that's building the teva. You can't say Vayasnoach every time. It says Vayasnoach means the same thing. What's the context here?
He was going
the simple shot is that he followed the direction of bringing the animals.
Yeah.
And then, after he brought the animals, what happened? Vayavol Noach, hu barabishno. So Rashi says Vayasnoach. No, that's the end. So what's Pasuk Zayin? Two simple ways. Say the same thing. That's one of the obvious difficulties with Rashi. Obvious difficulties with Rashi.
Also, if you would want to say that, okay, so it was more scary now because now he's going to say he's giving him a time frame of when he's going to. He already said in the last paragraph in Zion that the shafet kol basar. In other words, there's not even a question that he's responding to the war. It's imminent now that it's happening. In other words, it took many years to build the teva.
Correct. And now he said everything's ready to go. And what did God say? Is everything ready?
It's good. Now I'm actually going to begin.
When? In 7 days. Good. So in 7 days, it's all going to happen. So what does he do?
Maybe there were two trips to the table. Maybe one trip for the animals. Maybe one trip for the people.
Maybe. You're going to have to say something. All say Rashi's very difficult. Yes.
Sounds to me like he went in. Then it started raining. He went, I
got to
go back and get everybody else.
You went in alone?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody remember Rashi's comment which he made later about the name Meham Abul? Would Rashi say Meham Abul?
That he waited
until
he
was.
Because
he didn't really believe that it was happening. Rashi says he was a Miktane Amon. He didn't really. So the Radak. Now I'm going to see the Radak is going to challenge this. What?
That his family may
not have done. Oh, so he went in and they stayed outside.
No, but doesn't Hashem say
that's a little
far-fetched.
I would say it's a little far-fetched. A little, yeah.
Doesn't Hashem say come to the teva, not come in the teva? Up above an olive bed, whatever.
No, he says boa la teva, go to the teva. In Pasuk Aleph. Yes. Boa la teva.
But come to the teva.
No, boa.
That's come to the table.
And what, stand outside?
Animals.
Stand outside?
Not all the animals, but he did. He ended up standing outside and waiting. There's an implication right here.
Okay.
Yes, he went in because of the water.
So, hold on. Let's take a look at something. Hold on a second. So now, let's take a look at the Radak. For a second. Now, I want to start with Rashi, too. Why is he waiting 7 additional days? God had already waited how long, according to the Midrash? 120 years.
Somebody died.
That's what Rashi's going to say. Let's read the Rashi. Kiliyamin Ochiva in Rashi. Rashi asks the question, what do we need set? Why couldn't the marble start right after the 120 years are up? The table is built. Everything's ready to go. Why wait 7 days? Says Rashi. Elu Yimei Elu Zayin Yimei Evlo Shel Mitu Shelach Hatzadik. This refers to the mourning period of Mitu Shelach. Where did we come across Mitu Shelach? And again, the Parshas Bereishis. He's the son of Chanoch. What unusual distinction does Mitu Shelach have?
Longer,
longer than anybody else. 969 years. She'chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Kvodo, the Ikeid et HaPuranu. God felt badly on account of the honor and dignity that ought to be given to Mitu Shelach, and delay the punishment. Rashi continues. Say, v'chashov, shnotav shel Mitu Shelach. Go ahead and calculate the life of Mitu Shelach. V'timsa, and you will discover, shehein kalim v'shnat tofrei shana l'chayin noach. That the Mitu Shelach's life expires exactly when Noah was what? 600 years old. Tofresh Shana. Good. Now, you're going to have to make lots of calculations and try to figure this out. Based on the fact that in Bereishit it tells you he lived 160 years, then he had kids. Then he lived another 100. You got to all figure it out. But Rashi, in willingly, underhandedly, answers something else about this text that we just read. What prompted the Medrash to associate the 7-day delay with what? With the death of Mitu Shelach. What came in? How do you see 1 and 2? How does 1 and 2 go together? What's the answer? Because the Torah reports right here that how old is Noah? Can't. That's so important. Right now, in the middle of saying he came in, his family, or he was 600 years old. That gives the Midrash a flashpoint. What happened? Why am I telling you it's 600? Oh, something else happened at age 600. Oh. What happened? How Mitu Shelach happened to have died. So now the Midrash puts 1 and 1 together and comes up with 3. I'm telling you that the reason why God delayed for 7 days is because Mitu Shelach, who happened to be exactly 600 years old, Noah happened to be 600 years old when Mitu Shelach died. Now, does the text actually tell us much about Mitu Shelach at all? Does the text tell us much? No, let's look at it. Go back for a second, Rabotai. Please, go back for just a second. It is Perek Hay. So he is born in Pasuk Chaf Bet. Chanoch was 65 years old and he gave birth to Mitu Shelach. Good. All we know is that the Torah describes something about Chanoch, that Chanoch walked with God. What does the Torah tell us about Mitu Shelach? Nada. Zippo. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All we know is how long he lived. The Torah text says nothing else. It's like most of the other guys. He lived, he was born, he died. This is what he had. By everyone else, and that's it. It's his father's Chanoch. Correct. I said Chanoch lakachalu that by Yitalel Chanoch alohim. Correct. Doesn't say about Mitu Shelach. Nothing. What does it say about Mitu Shelach? That's nothing about his character. That's like everybody else. It just tells you facts. He was 37 years old. He gave birth to this guy. Then he lived X number of years after that. That was it. Do we know anything about his life? No. So what indicates to you, what tells us that Mr. Shel was such a great tzaddik that God had to delay what? The Mabul, Ne'evlo Shemitu Shelach. But what was the great tzaddik? What may have tipped it off? Chanoch dying early. How does that tip off about Mr. Shelach Sidgud?
Walked with Hashem and was righteous, but then his life was cut short.
Getting into
Shelah,
well, why was his life cut short?
Because he didn't want
him
to
see. He didn't want him to see what?
To sin.
No, he didn't want him to see the destruction. That's correct. That's what Rashi said. How does it shed light on into Shelah?
That'd be something.
How does it shed light on into Shelah?
Because he liked him.
So, what single fact do we know about Metushelah? Okay, so now, Rabotai, think of theory. Think of a theory.
Does that be something that with each time we know how old he was and how much time
so, but think of a theory to come up with something concrete.
He must have been a very good man.
Correct. If somebody, we believe that what? There's got to be some type of connection, at least in theory. Between longevity and what? And observance of certain mitzvot. Sometimes the Torah says, V'ha'arachta yomin, l'man yarichon yomecha, right? Torah grants longevity. So if you have somebody who lived longer than anybody else, was that just indiscriminate? You mean to tell me God had no plan why this person was to live longer and that person was to live a little? There's no reason. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Cheshbon. But we truly believe that there is a Cheshbon. If we wouldn't believe that there is a Cheshbon, then the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur experience would be a total waste of time. We believe that there is some type of connection between what happens to us both in this world and in the world to come. That there's some din v'cheshbon. We don't always understand. Things puzzle us. And it defies our logical explanation. But it can't be that if Lemuel lived X number of years, and this guy lived 109, that it's not indiscriminate that he did live longer than any other human being. So despite the fact that the text says zero, Chazal, it's the Megashon, surmise that the fact that he lived long, he must have had some element of tzidkut. Hence, he dies, but Noach is 600 years old, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of deference to what? To respect of this tzaddik, of which we know nothing about, only one fact, that he lived longer than anybody else, whose death coincides with Noach being 600 years old. That's why I, Rashi, speculate that he waited 7 days. So says Rashi. Yes?
But then it's hard to understand the non-Jewish incentive to be between the Yom Kippur and the flood. If this other
tzaddik
lived, so why
is it
so surprising that, you know, nobody
did?
People said that, oh, he's so extraordinary. He was, you know, unique.
Yeah, that's why he got spared for the flood.
Yeah, but there was another tzaddik.
Okay, I hear that. Yeah.
Was Lenox still alive when Mitzvah?
Who?
Lenox.
I have no idea. He died earlier. There's a, in the
chronology at the bottom of page 25.
Okay. So this is all Rashi. I want to lead you to a more shop oriented thing, which the Radak is going to suggest, and many others. Knowing that there are, just look at the psukim themselves and tell me what the simple pshat of Kili Yamim Od Shiva is going to be. Read again psukim Aleph, Bet, and Gimel and tell me simple pshat Kili Yamim Od Shiva.
To get
all
the animals on.
Of course. He passed back. What did he tell him? What did he tell him back?
Get the animal.
Get the animal.
Which animals? The kosher ones. Huh. And now what does he say? In 7 days. So what do you need these 7 days for? Very simple. You got everybody get into their cabin. Get used to their surroundings. Get what's going on here. It's a simple shot. In Pasuk Bet, the Torah told us that God told him to take 7. No, he's got all these animals assembled. In one day, you expect him to get every animal species into the teva, settled, and now we're going to have to take... No, you need a couple of days. You don't have to come onto a far-fetched midrash that we are talking about postponing the marble 7 days because there was a missing shelf we know nothing about. But he lived longer and he coincided with the death of Noah. Noah was 600 years old when he died. You don't need that. You should only rely on the midrash, say the Pashtanim, as if there was no shot. Then I can understand the necessity to rely on a midrash. But if the midrash, if the text is abundantly clear as to what is happening here, you don't even have to stop in our language. It's very simple. God, for the first time, told him in Pasuk Bet that you take all seven of the kosher animals. Well, he's got to have some time. So God said, I'll give you 7 days. Because to have it start raining the day he heard the command would be somewhat unfair. Unfair. That's what that's going to claim. Plus, one other thing, the Rambam. So now go to page number 1 on the bottom on the left-hand side. Ki liyamim od shiva vitzivahu, God commanded him, shiyikanes l'teva shiva yamim kodem, flip the page, I bracket it on the right-hand side, shiyavim abu. Why? Lehachin moshav habehemot v'hachayot. To place them what? In their proper rooms. Kol min umino bikano. Every species in its what? In its own little cage. Ulehachnis hama'achal l'chol min umin. And to bring in the bright food. This one only eats alfalfa sprouts. So you got to get alfalfa sprouts, because that's what that animal will eat, alfalfa sprouts. Be'od shahateva pitucha. When can all this be done?
Well, the doors are open.
Once you lock it up, it's a little too big. Ubidrash! Ubidrash! And he goes, that's the Medrash! That's the Medrash! Very nice! That's the Medrash! Very nice! Fuck! That's the Medrash! But you don't really need the Medrash. Then you don't need the Medrash. Now take a look at the second Radak on the left-hand side of the page. And the Radak says, Vayavo Noach. So what does Rashi say? What does the Radak say? Vayavo Noach. Shiv'a yamim nichnas kodem bo hamavo. He actually entered the teva 7 days, as he just explained. He's in there, and this, oh, you lions, you go over here. You gorillas, you go over here. You monkeys, you go over here. That's what he did. Very nice. Vizehu mitnei mahamav. And this is exactly what the text means, that why did Noach go in? Mitnei hamabu. What does it mean? To prepare for the mabu. Why did he go in? To prepare for the mabu. The mabu was about to come, and therefore he went in arranging, here's the food storage, here's the garden storage, here's all kinds of things. V'lo yadanu ta'am l'divrei ha'omer b'drash shenoach miktanei amana ayah. I can't figure out for the life of me why some cite the midrash that the word b'nei ha'mabul is to tell me that he didn't really believe that the novel was coming. And why did he actually go in? Because the waters were already pushing him in. Why do you come to such a conclusion?
Those words are extra.
Shaharei hachatuv me'id alav shahaya tzadik tamim ve'asah kichol asher tzivo Hashem. What does vayas noach kichol asher tzivo Hashem add, asks the Radak in Pasuk Hey. What does it add?
He believed. He did.
He did everything that God told him.
Based on the belief that everything
that whatever's going to happen. Exactly. Whatever God says is going to happen. What vayas noach. You know how many times the Torah says Vayas Moshe Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem? You know how many times? 500 times. In two parashiyot, Vayakel Bekudei, 68 times alone. Vayas, every two psukim. Moshe built the Kruvim, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem. He built the Shulchan, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem. He built this. You mean to tell me Moshe did it because somebody was compelling him to do it? He didn't really believe it? No. No. Says the Radak, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And that he was a tzaddik. So why do you have to come to a midrash which paints him in a negative fashion when you can explain the words with Neimei Habul very simply? He went into the Mabul, went into the Teva, for what reason? Because the Mabul was coming and he had to make preparations. That's because he didn't. But what is it? Rashi loves the midrash. He loves the midrash. Sometimes even at the expense of what? The simple pshat. Yes.
Maybe Rashi's responding because the implication of Ayasakho Ashitziva would be that okay, if you just look at it straight at it, you're saying that was the world that was, and now Hashem's creating a second world, and it's going to be following God's orders. But we also know Noah's sons did not do this. So in other words, maybe Rashi's responding to it. It's not like we're creating a new world that everyone's going to do exactly what God commanded them. You could look at it and you say, okay, this is a new creation we're starting. We're going to start on the second time.
Right.
But in this case, Rashi's responding to the fact that it's not going to work that way. And we see it almost immediately because of Noah's sons.
And that's why he's faulting Noah.
Okay.
Very interesting. Perhaps. Okay, I apologize. I have to stop now. I have to apologize. There will be a share next week. Next week there will not be a share in 2 weeks, but there will be a share next week. You got to stop. Yeah.